Our first hymn this morning, if you join with us, hymn number 445. Hymn number 445. As we stand, please.
Take it that we have visitors. Hope we do. We always, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified.
Thank you so much. And now Brother Ralph Cash, the chairman of the Board of Deacons and the chairman of the Pulpit Committee, will come forward and lead us as we pray together.
Let us pray. Holy Father, what a wonderful experience it is to come into your house on so beautiful a Lord's Day to praise you, to worship you, and to thank you for the wonderful things in life that are ours because you're a God of love, a God of concern, and a God of forgiveness. We thank you for the opportunity to worship. We thank you for these who have gathered together to worship thee, to worship you. We all, Father, have different needs, but each of us needs you in our own way. And we pray that you might give us grace to open our hearts and our minds to you this morning, that the presence and the power of your Spirit could enter in, Father, to meet our needs. We ask, Father, that you use the message of the hour, that you use the beautiful songs and hymns, the words of praise and of prayer to bring about your will in our lives this day. Thank you for each person who is gathered this morning. Thank you for those who are participating in any way. Bless those who shall speak to us later on. Forgive us, Father, for we are a people who are sinners. We thank you, Father, that you are a God of forgiveness. Help us to seek not only you in forgiveness, but to seek you in service. And seek you, Father, in loving one another as you have loved us. We pray in the precious and holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Offertory hymn, please. Hymn number 260. Hymn number 260.
Yeah.
will to be done in our lives. God be with the tithes and offerings as they come to fulfill your purpose in this church. Help us, O Lord, to keep your will first as we try daily to serve you in any way that we can. Be with this fellowship of believers as we try daily to serve your will. Be with the message as it comes that each one's heart might be in tune with your will.
Away from the church, God's not as close to me as he was before. And we have to ask the question, well, who moved?
For speakers today, we're using laymen from this church. I think that's a fine thing to do. And you have many laymen who could do this work most effectively. The program committee arranging it have selected three, and they will speak in the order as named without further introduction. The first speaker will be concerning the local church. Glenn Chrysler, the president of the Brotherhood. And the second speaker will speak on the layman in the Atlanta Association, Ray Bridges, who represents this church on the executive committee of the Atlanta Association. And the third speaker is speaking about our denominational work in Georgia, in our nation, and to the ends of the earth. Brother Ray Bridges, a very active worker in the life of this church. They'll speak in the order named.
Before I start, I'd like to make a couple of announcements. One of them is the insert in your bulletin. It's about our Brotherhood breakfast. This is sort of special. You know, the women have been wondering what's going on in Brotherhood breakfast. Well, now you have a chance to find out. We're inviting you. We have what I understand is a wonderful group of singer, their family, and they have a wonderful testimony. So we thought it would be worthwhile if we invite you ladies to come out. Now, that's February the 9th, So we have tickets, and Maren Daniels has some, Frank Mehta has some, and I have some. So if you'd like to make your reservations, well, let us know. We're expecting a good crowd, so we'd sort of like to know how many is coming. Also, the RAs are going to the circus. February the 19th, we're planning to go. That was one of the nights we could get a discount on tickets. Now, I've heard that some of the stores are giving $2 off, so we're going to try for those. But in the meantime, we're still setting a date for February the 19th, which is a Wednesday. We'll go on a bus. We have to know by Wednesday night, so let one of the leaders know if you want to go and get the money so we can go ahead and order the tickets. You know, if I seem a little nervous up here, it's probably because I am, so just bear with me. When I was asked to speak this morning, you know, I gave the usual excuses. I've never done it before, and I wish you'd get somebody else. And then I thought back a few years when a good friend of mine came by the church where I was. He was serving as interim pastor at a little country church, and he said, "Glenn, I got laryngitis and I can't speak. I wish you'd go with me and just give your testimony and maybe say a few words." I said, "Well, some other time, but not today." And I thought about that, and that's why I'm here. I said nobody should ever turn down an opportunity to speak out for their Lord. You know, a few weeks ago, I was talking to a former pastor of mine, and he told me that sometimes a church reminded him of a football game. He says, you know, there's 22 men on the field needing rest, and there's thousands more in the stands needing work. That's what I'd like to talk a little bit about this morning, is about a layman's work in the church. You know, we've learned from Paul in Ephesians when he is speaking to them there in chapter 4, that we're all given certain gifts to use to glorify God. Some are given gifts to preach, some to teach, some to take care of the children of God, and others to lead. And we're all given certain gifts, and those gifts are to be used to build up God's church. Now, he equipped us with these gifts, and if we don't use them, then we waste them. Sometimes, you know, all of us as Christian laymen think all the work is to be done by the pastor. You know, after all, we're paying him. Sometimes maybe they say not enough, but he's getting paid. Why not let him do all the work? Well, we as Christians, we have an obligation, too, to do the Lord's work. You know, we can, two good examples of two laymen is in, we find in Acts 6 and 7, we can read about Stephen. He was a layman, a young man, full of the Holy Spirit. He was just a deacon, but he went about preaching the gospel and witnessing, even being persecuted. And we all know that later on he was even stoned to death. Then we can go on and read in Acts the 8th chapter, we can read about Philip, the deacon. Now this is not Philip the evangelist, this is the deacon. Where he went about spreading the word of God and knowing about the persecutions and the death of Stephen. Now I know that all of us can't be Stephens or Philips, but we've all got certain gifts. And we can use them in working in the Lord's church. How far will we go to serve our God? We must use our talents, and you know, it's just a matter of priorities. If we set our priorities right, then we'll serve the Lord. We can learn in 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul tells us, I was reading this the other day in our Sunday school lesson, we was talking about time. You know, God bought us and he paid for us with a price. We don't really have any time. We're servants of God. He bought us. It's not a question of how much of our time we'll give him, but it's a question of obedience or disobedience, and we should remember that. You know, this is God's church here at Pine Lake. We have some wonderful fellowship, wonderful laymen, wonderful workers, but there's more work to be done, and there's more people here that could be doing it. We must all get together and work harder and strive harder to do more work here. We must commit ourselves. You know, there's no better time than today. In closing, I'd just like to give a little bit of my testimony, if you will, if you'll bear with me. 6 years ago, I was in Illinois, and I had to put God upon the shelf, you know, as a lot of us do. My wife, she continued to take the children to church. Now I had too many important things to do. You know, I had a good job. I didn't have to worry about the Lord. I didn't need I had too many things to do, like, you know, I had to get up on Sunday morning and cut the grass so I'd get ready to watch the ball game. But some things happened in my life that made me see how much that I needed the Lord. And a friend of mine that worked with me came by one Saturday afternoon. We sat down and talked and prayed together. And I decided to put the Lord back into my life. I started going to church and Sunday school with my wife and children. I joined the First Baptist Church of Palatine and began to work and serve. And the more I did, the more blessings I received. When we left Illinois, the hardest thing to do was leave the church. I prayed that the Lord would send us to a church. They sent us to a good church. And since I've been here, I've been trying to work and serve. And the Lord has blessed us. I'd just like to say today that, you know, if you're not getting a spiritual blessing out of life, then you're not serving. So I just say to every one of you, let's get out of the grandstands, get on the field, and go to work.
Jimmy Davenport is going to take the last part of this. He told Glenn and I to hurry up. He had a long one, so we'll let Jimmy cover the rest of the field whenever we get through. The church here is, of course, the most important arm in this community. And we are the organized group of believers, the democratic part of the total organization of the Christian Word. And then we together join in the Georgia Baptist Association and the Southern Baptist Convention, which Jimmy will cover some of, as a group. But in the between the church itself, working in the local community, and the broad outreach where we go through our cooperative program and so forth to the other endeavors of the Georgia Baptist Convention and the Southern Baptist Convention, we have different associations. Normally, each church is assigned an association to be a member of, and they have the freedom to join whatever association they want to. Normally, it's in a designated area. Even though we are close to the Stone Mountain Association, we have churches closer into Atlanta that are members of the Stone Mountain Association. This church was sponsored and assisted in the organization as a mission here by the Druid Hills Baptist Church. And as a result of that, this church joined the Atlanta Association, which was a larger group and one that we felt that we owed something to. Ben's a church out of the Atlanta Association came out here to help form this church. Now, there are many functions that the Atlanta Association does, and they cooperate with the Goodwill Missions and so forth in Atlanta. They have educational endeavors. They have different committees set up. This church has always been very active in the Atlanta Association. I.B. Melton, I know, used to be on the Properties Committee, and I think he's once again been asked to serve in that capacity. But they also assist the church here that we're meeting in now. The property was acquired through a loan from the Atlanta Association to enable us to buy this church, the property that the church is located on. And through our giving, through our budget and so forth to the Atlanta Association, after a period of time, they normally forgive the debt to the Atlanta Association in the event the church is unable to repay. In our case, we were able to repay all of the indebtedness that we borrowed from the Atlanta Association in order to obtain these facilities. Also, Ronald Haney, former pastor, is also active, and he is chairman of the student committee of the Atlanta Association at this time. The first thing that I think that you might recall of the association in Atlanta doing was the founding of the Atlanta Baptist College. This was something that started back in 1948 with a group of the laymen and ministers getting together and just asking the question, why can't we have a Baptist college in Atlanta? And it was a big undertaking. And after discussion and planning for 4, 5, 6 years, in 1956, they actually got the groundwork going and the raising of money to start the Atlanta Baptist College. This was my first introduction to any kind of associational work. I was asked to take a list of 7 churches and go in and speak to the Brotherhood, and speak to the Chairman of the Board of Deacons, and what other groups that we could get together to try to enlist the Baptists of Atlanta to cooperating together to pool their funds to start a college. Well, it was an awful rough going. And there was a lot of mistakes made. I think the first one was hiring a bunch of Presbyterians to raise money for it. It was quite a comical thing. One of the first things they did was write a letter to the pastor and tell him that this was something that Atlanta Baptist was going to do, and for him to get on the ball and make his people give some money to it. And the second thing they did was write a letter to the chairman of each board of deacons and say, you need to get on your pastor. He's not doing his job. Well, you know how that went over in a Baptist church. So the third thing we did was get rid of the Presbyterians to raise money for Baptists. So it's been some exciting times over the last 7 or 8 years that I have worked actively in the association. And I've worked with a lot of laymen and a lot of educational directors, music directors, and pastors and associate pastors that have taken part. Dr. Sigler has been a very big part in this. One that you might appreciate is one of the problems we have now, the marijuana use, and there was some talk about the legalizing of this rather than have the penalty for sending people to prison for selling it, so they just make it legal and do away with it. So Dr. Sigler was put on a committee to research this and communicate the findings to the President of the United States and members of Congress, and I hope that he will read this presentation to you sometime, but it was a very effective communication sent to the President of the United States from the Baptists of Atlanta stating how we felt about this. The part that I am playing now is that I am on the assembly committee and been for 3 years, and I've been chairman for 2 years. And this is another thing that the Atlanta Baptists are not always aware of, what the involvement is in the Atlanta Association. Right now we have 119 churches that are contributing. Our church budget gives 3% to the Atlanta Association. We have a moderator, Brother Ed Gilstrap, that was out and spoke to this congregation not long ago, and he is a former missionary, a former pastor, and he likes to speak of himself as the pastor's pastor in Atlanta, and he's doing an outstanding job. But he has to have the support of other people, because of the main work that is done in the Atlanta Association is by the contributed laborers. We do have paid staff, but the main part is the work of the laymen in the community. In the assembly's committee, we have the responsibility of 2 pieces of property. One is 94 acres and a 10-acre island on the Chattahoochee just south of Roswell. We have a lodge up there and facilities that can sleep 200 people for a weekend or a week retreat for GAs, RAs, or Brotherhood, any of those groups that can get together to go up there. Also, we have 640 acres up at Jasper, Georgia, on Sharp Top Mountain, around the area of Sharp Top Mountain. Up there we have a frontier campus, which has a dining hall and building there for the preparation of food, and surrounding this is 10 wagons that will sleep 8 people each. So you're really getting back into the roughing of things, sleeping in covered wagons. Our RAs took 2 trips up there this year, and it was very rewarding. And I think that we need facilities like this as we get into the busy times that we get involved in our business and in our personal lives. We need a place that we can go away to a retreat, to get back to nature, to appreciate the things that, that God has given us here. And a lot of soul searching can take place there, a lot of training and reflecting back at these areas when you get close to the, to nature. And we recently decided that we would continue to maintain both of these facilities, and we are in the process, which is not a good time to do it, but we're trying to raise money to go ahead and develop these into greater facilities for the Atlanta Baptists to use. There's a lot to be done in our association. There is a great need for laymen to work in the Atlanta Association. Time to time, you will have an opportunity to do this, either through working on committees for the giving of your funds to help develop these facilities. Also, you have appeals from time to time to help out with projects at the Goodwill Centers that are located throughout the metropolitan Atlanta area. They have ministries to the youth at the different colleges. There are all different projects that are going on all the time, and it requires a layman's work. I enjoy doing it. It takes a good bit of time, but this is time that I think we'll be well rewarded for.